I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Welcome into Tech Talk. Happy opening day for Major League Baseball. You got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. It is a song request Thursday. If you couldn't tell from my pick from Angels in the Outfield, mine was less of a song, more of a soundtrack, but that's what I go to.
I was going to guess something different for that movie.
Oh, what would you have?
I was thinking that was attached to, I was wanting to put that with, Field of Dreams or one of those, one of the scenes. Anyway. Yeah,
I went with the Waves.
That's scene. Good. You know what? And I've never seen Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, man. There's a lot of stars in that movie that, as a kid, I didn't appreciate until I got older and, like, looked back. It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3. Your theme, we've had one somewhat similar when we did walk-up music, you know, about 3 weeks ago. So if you double up, you double up. That's okay. But with opening day, we thought we'd go with songs that just remind you about the sport of baseball. So get those in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Looking forward to your song requests all day today. We're taking you up to 6 o'clock. At that time, it's Red Raider Baseball as they start their series against UCF. A little bit of a time change there. Not too dramatic, though. It was going to be a 5 o'clock first pitch.
Central.
5 o'clock our time. Now 6:30 our time. So pretty much for most game ones, for our purposes, listening out here, same old, same old.
Yep. They had trouble getting out last night or yesterday afternoon, and even last night due to weather in Florida. So they left this morning and just made a little adjustment to the game time. The tough part about that is the part that probably makes them antsy, but who knows, is just that they're not going to get to probably be on the field. Mm-hmm. The extra night, you know, the night before. Sure. But
yeah, you talked yesterday about getting there and finding all the Easter egg nooks and crannies in the ballpark.
You absolutely do. Like, it's one of the things that you'll see, and I don't hang around for these very often, but you'll see coaches back there, you know, maybe taking catchers back behind the backstop or behind home plate and throwing balls off the padding to see it ricochet. And you think about what a home field advantage we have here, because home plate is just 35 feet to that backstop. And so a lot of catchers will turn around and want to chase it, and that thing comes shooting by them. Yeah, and you'll have base runners make bad decisions because they'll get halfway to home and go, uh-oh, there's no room. And so all of that's the stuff that you want to knock out, that and working with your outfielders on nooks and crannies and stuff like that. You want to is the wall bouncy, that kind of stuff. So a little bit less time to prep, but those are hopefully the kind of things that don't rear their ugly head and give us problems.
Has the past 24 hours been the most a program has said nooks and crannies?
our program, probably. Right.
You know. I like it. Official saying of Tech Talk, nooks and crannies. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That'll be open for you, 806-771-0973. Give us those song requests, songs that make you think of baseball for opening day on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can also take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. So if you're listening from Orlando, Florida, let us know. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. Of course, plenty of baseball, both collegiate and professional, to dive into today. You also saw today is the first day of the combined Big 12 Pro Day for football athletes who are hoping to get drafted, which is awesome. And that really, I know the draft's around the corner, but this actual combined Big 12 Pro Day, at least for me, snuck up on me. And we talked about it, you know, when it was announced. And I think for the most part, everyone was like, yeah, thumbs up. No one else is really doing this in their conferences. So we'll dive into some of that. But guess how's your Thursday?
It's all right.
You got the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're about to fire it up. But yeah, just you know, reading a little bit. I didn't really, kind of busy this morning, but just, you know, had the most of the time I'd be listening to local programming, and I was listening to today extended pregame show stuff of the Cardinals, and you know, would have done that with the Rangers had it started a little earlier. But yeah, it's a fun day.
Now is that an every opening day? Is
no,
that new?
No, no, no. Just kind of new-ish. a costume. Yeah, I think it was a ballpark giveaway thing.
Oh, there's the Coca-Cola.
The Coke
on that
and
side.
The Schnucks is kind of a Schnucks? United supermarket, kind of a regional.
Do they have Schnucks and Schrannies.
Yeah. They probably sell Electrolit there.
Hey,
they sell Budweiser there. Yeah.
My love for Electrolit, by the way, has not died. So if anyone is wondering who their biggest supporter is out there, I don't know who. I guess I need to talk to Chuck to get them as a sponsor.
What's going on?
Brought to you by Electrolit.
Would they just not even let you sell something?
Yeah, I assume if one of us,
in the office?
Yeah, it's like whenever they tell, like, shut up and dribble, we don't want to hear you. Like,
right.
That would be that version.
Yeah,
I assume if I sold something, I would go to them, like, as soon as I shake the hand for, like, glad to have you aboard, Electrolit, a little red dot pops up right here on the old forehead, and I don't have too much longer before I expire. Like, next time, don't mess with the sales team.
You better deliver if you do go out. You better gin up some offense at a play. I mean, some offense. But yeah, you better gin up a successful sale in a place that there wasn't going to be one, lest you be.
No one else was going to sell the digitometer. I had to do my own work.
100%, dude.
Kyler, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Clint. I'm doing good. Ready for opening MLB opening day.
You've got the world champion Texas Rangers cap on and the shirt, looking sharp.
I sure
absolutely
do.
Absolutely,
sure do. Yeah. It feels good.
You
man.
Better.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a red letter day tonight. Red letter date, but just, you know, when you get to hang the world champion banner. Big stuff.
I'm sorry,
you
guys.
All right, bro. I mean, I know you're excited about the Rangers. But
one
damn,
of those was
man.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. When you hear the glass, here come the Rangers.
My bad.
There we go.
Back with more Tech Talk next on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Thursday. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. It is a Song Request Thursday. Today's theme songs that remind you of the game of baseball. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown behind the glass taking care of us. Get us those requests on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Visual Edge IT hotline is also open for you, 806-771-0973. Gus, we have this question for you from Raider's dad. This from for Leiter and Rocker. Where are the two aces from Vandy a few years ago thought they would rock it to the bigs?
I think Rocker's getting over an injury. Let's look at that. And Leiter had a couple decent outings in camp. But yeah, they're I mean, it's also a reminder that, you know, it's not as easy as you might think it is. I don't mean you, but I was saying that you think, oh, guys dominating.
I thought it was just, I mean,
those
you
guys
know,
are dominating the Florida Gators.
I thought it was easy. Easy
Rockers. Yeah, Rocker will start throwing off a mound in April. Mm-hmm. So here in a couple of weeks. So he's got, you know, he's got, he's still got rehab ahead. Leiter had a decent camp, and I would bet he is going to start in. Jack Leiter, I bet he starts in AAA this year. Let's see.
Need our fill-in music.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely, if you want. But yeah, those two guys, those two guys, you know, I think their future's still ahead of them and all that. But yeah, the idea that they were just going to walk in and be dominant, you know, that hadn't come to fruition. I think the thing that maybe there was a thought that Leiter was a little more polished, mm-hmm. but he's had stretches where he didn't throw a ton of strikes in double A, you know, and that to me would have been a surprise. Now, are they having to retool some things? That I don't know, but I guess there's a chance. I'm going to see if we've got any roster information on him, because if he's in Frisco, then that might mean you can, you know, if you're in DFW, certainly, but if mm-hmm. you're in Amarillo or Midland or something on business or whatever, you can go maybe catch a break and see one of those guys throw. But I shouldn't say one of those guys, Leiter's who we're talking about. Rocker's hurt, period. It's going to be a while for him.
What are your expectations this season, just for a baseline for the Texas Rangers? Because at least with three teams, you're in an incredibly competitive division, or at least that's what it seems like right now, because I think most people are anticipating a similar story to what you saw last season, you know, between the Astros, Mariners, and then the Rangers. And then the Angels are in the division, and then also the A's. They're, yeah. You know, whatever the A's will be this year. Focused on Las Vegas. There's your tagline for the A's.
It's a tough deal.
What's your expectation for the Rangers?
I would imagine that they'll be in it again this year. Obviously, they're down Scherzer and DeGrom, you know, for a good while. And I don't know what they're going to have in Scherzer, period. Mm-hmm. Because his stuff was diminishing just the last year prior to the injuries. And there's some mileage on that body. And so does healthy Max Scherzer come back and be as impactful in the rotation? I don't know. I'd probably be a little bit skeptical. Now, does that mean he could pitch down in the rotate, you know, be the fourth or fifth starter and be productive? Yeah, he probably can. I mean, that may be the hope, but, you know, spend a lot of money on that dude, man. You know, and the truth is, they maybe spent a lot of money on that guy, and that may have been what cost him a crack at Montgomery and mm-hmm. some of that. I mean, just because there's and the, you know, the Astros probably say the same thing. I mean, Scherzer and Verlander came at a high price. Mm-hmm. And for the Astros, it was a high price in prospects as well. But
you'd have to think, as it stands right now, between the two, you know, if you're going to say the worth it category, that obviously that nod goes towards the Astros and Verlander, where Scherzer is yet to be determined, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And I think the Rangers are going to have really good offense. They should have a really good lineup, and they should be, you know, if there's enough pen there, they may be able to string together enough wins to stay relevant mm-hmm. and stay in this thing and be competitive, as opposed to, you know, riding high end starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you can get to the break and be relevant. And no one, you know, then trades, things like that can happen. Yes, Jack Leiter are going to start the year in AAA Round Rock. I think the Astros are going to, I think the Rangers and Astros are going to be in the thick of it again. And I'm good with that. I mean, as a fan of the sport, I think it's better in the state of Texas when those two are both good mm-hmm. and don't like each other and both competitive at the same time. Because we went through a decade of Rangers being good and the Astros terrible, and then flipped it for a good 5-6 years, yeah. And now we got it both good, and that they were, you know, that they're going at it, and they've got their viral moments at each other's expense. I mean, that sets the stage for a fun summer.
And it's interesting with this year for the division, because you have that rivalry and both of them going into the season with expectations and everything you just noted, and looking back at how feisty it was mm-hmm. between these two,
especially down the stretch.
Yes.
Yeah, when it mattered.
And there was some serious animosity between the two, all the while you have one of the best, not if not one of the best rotations in another team in the division with the Mariners, and a very viewed face of baseball type of guy as well in that lineup. And you know, you're focusing in on out here the Rangers and the Astros and that rivalry, yet there's a real chance that the Mariners come out on top in this division. And, you know, if it does get to where, you know, there aren't two wild card spots, if there's an odd man out, it's not all for naught or anything like that. I just think it's interesting our focused view between the Astros and Rangers, and the Mariners are set as anybody to make some noise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think I saw today a over-under for the Rangers at 87, which is probably a tick lower than I would have guessed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that could be, you know, those sort of metrics and just Vegas. You know, Vegas looks at a lot of the things that they probably look at a lot of the base elements that are a whole lot more important than just the shiny things that we all see, like who went out and got a high-priced free agent. Like, it's not as much the, you know, like who's on whose schedule, that kind of stuff.
Gus, what would it take for you to rock the look of Wild Thing? Get you the mohawk, cut off the sleeves, maybe get you, what was it, like a little feather earring?
It was a feather, wasn't it?
Yeah. Gus running out of the pen. Tear it up.
Mild Thing.
After he got the glasses fixed.
Mild Thing, you make my butt sting.
It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Happy opening day. Hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. It is a song request Thursday. Today's theme, songs that remind you of baseball. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown behind the glass playing DJ today. We are live from the First United Bank studio. Two more hours with us. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Take us anywhere with a mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. And we're streaming live on Fox 34 News now and on YouTube. This question from Lindell Jeff. Dr. Gus, since baseball has so few scholarships, how can schools like Vanderbilt and TCU recruit? Nobody can afford $60,000 per year to matriculate there.
Well, they've also, being private schools, they've also got a little more ability to create other scholarships that are outside of what state schools can do. And NIL is really equalizing a lot of that kind of stuff out. The cost of attendance stuff for Texas Tech baseball players is almost down to zero for the guy that's on the typical kind of 25, you know, to 50% scholarship here with NIL and some of the other stuff that they've got built in that's above board, not some secret NIL thing or whatever that nobody knows about, but just the locker room deal. Just about everybody's covered with their cost of attendance, their cost of going to college here now. Because really, if you go back five, six years, the narrative around college baseball was, how does Vanderbilt get to have unlimited scholarships? Because as an institution, they had made it a priority, and they can go out and work their way around. The private schools can go out and work their way around some of the 11.7 NCAA type scholarships by creating some things, you know, for, you know, kids from the Bronx of Dominican origin or whatever, in a way that, you know, don't ask me how all that works. But, they were notoriously heavy on scholarship players for years. And it was whispered and even talked about around college baseball. Most people just went, hey, you know, the people at Vanderbilt have made this a priority, and that's why they're good, you know. So I think that's, you know, I think the NIL thing is what is the bigger conversation, and the whispers around college baseball right now, and this may be the bigger conversation than your question, mm-hmm. Texter. And that is the prevailing thought is that the SEC schools that are really trying to win, which, you know, you could probably imagine those are put your, you know, who LSU, I would assume Georgia, because they made the switch at head coach, you know, those type schools. The thought is that they're spending upwards of $1 million on their NIL money on their baseball roster.
Yeah.
Gosh. Huge number. Crazy. And you think about, like,
the collegiate Dodgers.
Right. Because I think Tech's doing, what, a locker room deal for all 35, all 40 guys. Mm-hmm. It's like 10 grand. So we're spending 350, 400 grand. But what that doesn't have is the top end guy, meaning, you know, they didn't go out and poach a Friday night starter from somebody and go, hey, we'll get you 50 grand. You know, whether we can all stand around and act, you know, put out by that or whatever, but I'm just saying that when you talk about what's moving the needle in college baseball now, it's less of a scholarship conversation, which it was 5, 6, 7 umpteen years ago, much more of a scholarship conversation. Now it's an NIL conversation.
Let's go from, you said Friday night guys, to Thursday night guys.
Yeah.
Red Raider baseball taking on UCF tonight. Big RPI opportunity that I don't think anyone anticipated this series being mm-hmm. that. And you still have to watch, of course, the rest of the way out of what UCF turns into. But as of now, they had a great non-conference up to this point. Some really good wins. 4-5 in conference play. That's the same that you are entering this series. Matt Huer going again on a Thursday, back-to-back Thursdays. What does he need to do to, I guess, have a little bit better performance?
Yeah, I mean, what he had done prior to the last two outings and what he did against Texas was flood the strike zone and pitch ahead, mm-hmm. Because he's got enough fastball that he can get ahead with it. I'm not saying he can tell anybody it's coming and then get outs, because he needs his breaking ball, but he's been slow to start, and this is just my eyeballs. I haven't seen this through analytics or anything, but his last two, and even against Texas and maybe an outing or two prior to that, like the first inning or two, he didn't quite have his breaking ball, and then he found it. And that was what helped him get to six innings at Texas. He pitched behind from the very moment the Baylor game started, and gave up a 3-run and a 2-run jack in the first two innings, and you know the big home run was crucial behind him. There was a key defensive play that wasn't made, but he wasn't good at Baylor, and that, you know, I'm sure he would own that. Mm-hmm. Last week against Texas, he walks leadoff man. TJ Pompey dumps an absolute tailor made double play. Then he hits a guy, then gives up a grand slam, and that's what set up that game. And so, you know, it really has been a story for Mac of controlling big innings over the – I mean, it's big three huge swings of the bat that have done him in, a 3-run, a 2-run shot, and a grand slam of the last three home runs that have defined his two outings. But getting back to, you know, commanding the fastball like he did and getting to his breaker as soon as he can just to keep guys off his fastball, it's a big key. And that's, you know, you can probably say that about – anyone in America, but you know, he was so good with his fastball that he's been able to pitch around some breaking ball command things until he's found it. But the last two outings, he hasn't done that, and so then he's throwing 2-0 and 3-1 heaters down the middle, and that's what's gotten him wrecked. So, the bottom line, throw more strikes early in counts.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. When we come back, Kylie will have a play of the day for us, and we'll get you an update from Houston. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is a song request Thursday here on Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Today's theme, songs that remind you of baseball. Whatever you got, hit us up on the East Corners and chat line with those. And DJ Kyler play that track. Go DJ. Oh, that's my DJ. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown behind the glass taking care of us. It is now time for Kyler. We're just going to keep making him do everything to give us a play of the day.
You know, he badly wants to be the hero. He's ahead 3-1. We saw him in Houston in game 6. Clearly wanting to be the hero after the drama of game 5. And he struck out 4 times in a row to start that game. Only to take a deep breath, settle down, and hit a grand slam in the ninth.
Actually edit all of that, right?
That Moneyball music behind everything can make any clip better, dude. Like, chills. Just gives me chills.
Really?
That's good
we
stuff.
Should put that to the test, right? Like, what's the most boring thing you can think of? Literally just a time lapse of grass growing with that music behind it?
I really think it would. I think it'd still make it better.
What we're going to do is we're going to have Gus go outside. He's going to paint the side of the wall. We're just going to film him for like 5 hours. He's going to do the same spot. Just upstroke, downstroke, upstroke, downstroke. We'll film that. We'll put the Moneyball music behind it, and we'll put that. You down? Just have to go get some paint. I'll be right back. Go to Walmart across the way real quick. What shade of – you want some cardinal red today to paint with?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Good job, Kyler. This on the chat line from D-Rock. You left me in the trenches taking grenades, John. Best Bond movie. Yeah, Wedding Crashers. That's up there. That is up there. The editor said, Pitch Perfect 2 had the Green Bay Packers line. I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Yeah, we got a Packers players, TJ Lane, Clay Matthews, and David Bakhtiari were in Pitch Perfect 2. There you go. There's some singing linemen.
Didn't realize that.
This from T-Money. Major League Baseball is one notch above NBA, but still 30 spots below women's tiddlywinks on my carometer.
Okay, thanks for texting.
It's a cousin of the digitometer. we got this. How's it going, you nasty Viking? I don't like that this is started. I would like to say that I did not start the story of the tapeworm. I just simply brought it. And I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Enjoying opening day. We got some Dodgers cards on the TV in front of us. Over in Houston right now, game 1 for the Astros hosting the Yankees. Good start for the Astros. 3 up in the first and then 1 run in the second. They have a 4-0 lead against the Yanks there early. So we talked about the Rangers division, Gus, but just as a whole, what do you think will be the most competitive of the six for whatever reason? Because I can see an argument, someone saying that, now I'm not leading with this, I'm just going through them, with the AL Central because the AL Central is going to be bad.
Right.
Obviously the AL West, as we mentioned, Rangers, Astros, Mariners, that's going to be an incredibly fun race, and we'll see what the Angels do. Just not even really going to bring the, you know, athletics into it. The AL East should be a very, very fun race this year.
Mm-hmm.
The NL Central could be a pretty good race. What do you think will be, when it's all said and done, the most quote-unquote competitive division?
That one right there, the NL West. We know what the D-backs are. We know what the Dodgers are. Dodgers, top of their lineup, there's three legit MVP candidates at the top of their batting order. Then they go trade for Glasnow. And I mean, that operation, and they're loaded. Mm-hmm. They go and get the top free agent, get out of Japan. I mean, so you got last year's defending NL pennant winner. You got the Dodgers, the Giants beefed up, mm-hmm. and the Padres feel like they're improved.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's four right there. And yeah, I don't think there's any. I mean, what you do? You kind of look at that and go, man, it's gonna be a tough deal for the Rockies because they're not
who already don't have expectations on top of
they're not ready to compete yet, and it's, that could get ugly.
So for the Dodgers, because I mean, mention the price tag that they spent, and I mean, it's we talked about this earlier in a break. It's one thing to see all of these MVP candidates offensively on a lineup, you know, in the card, but then to actually just see them one after another step, actually step in the batter's box. Yes.
Yeah, you're just like, dude, Glasnow could be starting for the NL on the mound. You could have, you know, those top three guys, boom, 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 Betts and Freeman and Ohtani.
Just signed Will Smith to a massive extension.
Yes.
And so, because I agree with that the NL West will be a fun race to pay attention to and, you know, should be a competitive division. But at the same time, you know, if the Dodgers don't take care of business, isn't this – I mean, wouldn't this be one of the most disappointing seasons to not do that?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, one of the biggest letdown – because, I mean, the all-in conversation – and the Dodgers have been all-in for a while now, but – what you did this offseason is just mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah.
And to the point where if you don't succeed, if you don't take care of the division, if you don't get to that World Series, I think if you're a Dodgers fan, if you're saying you don't win the World Series, I mean, that's a massive Grand Canyon-type letdown.
And you know, Dodgers and Braves are on a collision course as we sit here today talking about the National League, and that's you know, getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. You never know who's going to get hurt or whatever, where the injuries are going to come. But yeah, that's these two rosters, these two lineups are just heads and tails above everyone else.
What's the least competitive? Is it the NL East?
Yeah, it may be. Although the Phillies and Braves are in it, but yeah, with I'm just saying
division race.
No, I know. Yeah, and you're talking about a race. I don't know. The NL Central may not be very good. It may be the Cubs to win this year. A lot of people are picking them to win it. But
got the old interdivision manager change there. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Big time. And yeah, and that, you know, cuz they hung on to Bellinger and but yeah, you know, and it just makes sense because there's more lower revenue teams, smaller market teams in the middle part of the U.S., and that's where those two central divisions are, and so they sort of mirror each other in terms of none of them being out spending huge money. Probably the most potential to spend money in terms of market size and market value probably is Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. You know.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Give us your baseball songs on the H Flooring Center chat line. Song request Thursday. Back with more next on Double T 97.3. Actually got some tournament talk on the other side. We'll get to that here on Tech Talk.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is a Song Request Thursday here on Tech Talk. You got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown pumping out the tune. Give us your song requests on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Songs that remind you of the sport of baseball a la opening day in the major leagues. We will come back and talk some more baseball, and we'll break down the series with UCF a little more as well. We also, Gus, tonight on our fine airwaves, 8:45, after the Texas Tech and Knights game is wrapped up for game one tonight, we'll have Sweet 16 action. Basketball still rolls on.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I've got a few questions for you. First one, because we've talked about the I will hate that team forever because they beat us, even though I had no previous hate towards that program. Do you have that towards North Carolina State?
No.
Because for some reason, I don't.
No, I don't. They're probably a lot like we are, but just in broad mm-hmm. terms. I tell you what irks me about it. Like, we played them in football in the early 90s and got beat twice. Leach played them in football twice, got beat. Early
once
aughts.
With the Philip Rivers team, right?
Yep, too. Yep. And here in double overtime. And then we play them last year and get our butts kicked.
Oh,
yeah. And then in hoops. And so, you know, just –
So maybe we should hate North Carolina.
In very general terms, I don't have any personal beef because you don't share the cub. You know, your buddy Steve in the cubby hole over in his Wolfpack crap. But, just in general terms, they don't irk me. But I'm also thinking about it, going, you know what? We don't play them very often, but I'm tired of losing to them. I can tell you that much.
The more you throw that out there, I mean, you've seen that logo just as far as out of conference foes in a lot of sports, or I guess two sports, but multiple times. But the NCAA tournament one is so funny because I've felt that way. Now I didn't love Arkansas to begin with, but like, you know, when you lose to Arkansas with the McClung team in the round of 32 by just a couple of points, I'm like, oh, every time I see that Arkansas logo, it's gonna make me mad. Certainly had that with the other program that I root for, a long list of teams. Duke, you know, in the Sweet 16 a couple of years ago, I already don't root for Duke, so that was just, hey, there's another reason not to. But North Carolina State, that was a team, I mean, I told you, before the tournament was revealed, I was very much looking forward to seeing if they could go on some sort of run after their ACC tournament. I was like, oh, man, there's the fun story that wasn't written from the outside and wasn't built up. Like, take Indiana State. The Kareem Abdul-Jabbar guy, that was something that people were talking about for like a month. Oh, this is going to be the story of the tournament. And unfortunately, we got to watch Virginia play basketball instead. And so you don't even get to see that. But like, North Carolina State was the organic story that did something magical. And I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to see where they go. Can't wait to see what seed they get. And then, bam, it's Selection Sunday, and they're standing across from the Red Raiders. And immediately felt, I mean, just my eyes rolling in the back of my head because I thought one of two things was going to happen. Like, you were going to be like, sorry, I have to do this to you, and you were going to put them down. Or they were going to beat you, and you were going to go and say, oh, boy, especially after how things worked out, and you would have had Oakland in the way, and the woulda, shoulda, coulda, like, oh, how many times have we heard this? You had a route to the Sweet 16, but you couldn't beat North Carolina State, and you couldn't take on the bigs, and you couldn't shoot the ball.
Right.
I wouldn't say that I'm just pulling for them, which they'll play tomorrow against Marquette, but I don't have that disdain for them at the same time.
Up hate. Nah. Yeah. I mean, of who I would probably be rooting for in that game is Marquette, just because I'm interested in. I kind of like the thought of Shaka doing well and kind of, you know, double rods to Austin.
Yeah, and Barnes got a little satisfaction in that regard too, being the one who kicked Texas out of the tournament. Tonight, here's your matchups in the Thursday night lineup for the Sweet 16: Clemson and Arizona. San Diego State and UConn, Alabama, North Carolina, Illinois, Iowa State.
That last game there is really interesting too.
It's loaded
Illinois,
with
Iowa State.
I mean, it's intrigue. Loaded one with Iowa State, and then on the Illinois side, obviously you have Shannon, who's been fantastic.
And those are neighbors too. I mean, not that they've got a big cooked up rivalry, because that would be Illinois and Iowa that have been in the Big Ten forever, legacy programs and all that. But still, those people are a lot alike, and they're three hours away from each other probably. Mm-hmm. And that's just a fun matchup. And I'm really talking about it in broader just geographic terms and cultural terms, not so much saying that their basketball programs are alike.
Because on the other side, I think from the basketball actual playing side, this is equally interesting in the Iowa State's defense versus Illinois' offense, because these are two very, very conflicting styles. Mm-hmm. And I'm very interested to see how they line up. And then for Olzelberger, which we have a quote for him, we'll get a little bit later on in the program. He was asked a very important question about this game. I'm excited to share that audio with you. But then, like, from the Big 12's perspective, now I'm not here to just put on the Rob Lowe go Big 12 hat sort of thing, but I do think there is some merit to, one, being the best conference in America, but taking care of business in the tournament. And for the most part, I mean, you've had a team do that every single year, and I think you'll get a couple through. And by the way, I'm lumping in Arizona in this because they'll be here next year. So you have a chance with Houston, a chance with Iowa State, and a chance with Arizona. But I do think it's going to be a bad look if you weren't to get any teams into not just the Final Four, but to the Elite Eight. Like,
I agree.
I think as much as the conference, and I mean, I can say that I do this, and other fans of the conference and the conference itself boasts itself and then is backed up by numbers, I think it would be a bad look if you weren't, I would say even two teams break into the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Especially with the matchups that are set before you, like Arizona and Clemson. Arizona should win that one. I'm not saying Iowa State should beat Illinois. That might be the best game. And like I said, different styles. Who knows who's going to come out with that one. But Houston, I mean, you're the second overall seed as a one seed. See what happens. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.